Welcome to How to Make It Work, the radio show and podcast where we dive into real stories of people making life work in their own unique way. I'm your host, Annika. Let's get started.
Welcome back to How to Make It Work. My guest today works behind the scenes on buildings and infrastructure projects all over New Zealand. It is one of those jobs that sound really complicated, so I'm very excited to learn more about it today. My guest is Brucey Schiavinato-Jodau. He's a laser scanning specialist and captures real-world spaces to turn them into detailed 3D models. He's originally from Brazil, and today we're talking about what it actually takes to build a technical career in this field. Welcome to the show, Brucey.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course, it's amazing to finally have you. I announced you last year.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah. So let's talk about your job, laser scanning specialist. If you were at the pub and you had to explain to someone what your job is all about, what would you say?
That's a very difficult question to answer, because when we talk about 3D laser scanning, people think that it's 3D printed stuff or anything, but it's beyond that. So basically what we do, I'm a 3D laser scanning specialist and BIM modeler. So basically what we do, we capture environments in 3D environment that we can deliver that data for civil engineers or architects or someone who's going to work with this data. And also we do the analysis of this data. We put it in geoterms, and from that we create what we call a 3D model or a BIM model, which is building information modeling. It is a methodology that came from UK around 20 years ago and completely made a revolution in the engineering area, which consists in putting, you add not just, it's not just geometry that important, but actually behind of the geometry is the data that this model carries on with it. And this data could be anything, since from the volume, area, type of material, brand, number ID, so for future maintainment purpose, you can use all this data compiled in a single model that it's very useful for a lifelong maintainment of the building, you know?
And we will talk about a specific case in this episode, but I want to know more about your personal journey, because you're originally from Brazil. What brought you to New Zealand? And in the end, what brought you to Raglan?
Well, I think New Zealand was like a bit of everything. I was 27 and I needed a little bit of challenge. I always had like the dream to live overseas for a while and improve my English and stuff. And I was doing BIM modeling in Brazil, and back in Brazil, like 9 years ago, it was still very in the very beginning. So I was working back in the days, my last 3 years in Brazil was working for a very large civil engineering company. And then with them, I started to develop this BIM methodology to introduce to the office. So they paid the courses, so I've done the course. That was a way that I found to do the courses for free, to be honest. So like, wow, let's do it. You guys came. So I grabbed like an engineer, and then we've done the courses together. We've done two of them, the architecture courses and the civil engineer. Because this BIM software, there's different disciplines. So you can work with electrical, you can work with plumbing, you can work with mechanical, so it's a specific course for everything. And then I've done it there, and I saw like, well, I cannot go from anywhere else. I need a new challenge. And I say like, well, I'm going to New Zealand. And then I came to New Zealand. At first, not to work with civil engineering, was like a sabbatic year.
Yeah.
And then it just happened to happen. One day, I started as a busker for my first 6 months and working in a yoga retreat in Auckland. in exchange of accommodation.
Yeah.
Doing this kind of like exchange for 6 months. And then I changed. I moved to a farm where I got my first visa.
Oh, you got it through like a work sponsorship?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I met like a really nice Kiwi couple. And I used to work in their farm looking after their horses. So that was my very first visa.
Did you have any experiences with horses before?
I did back in Brazil, like in a farm that my family used to have, like my uncle used to have a farm. And we used to go every year, like twice a year. So grew up like around horses. Where I'm from, Brazil is pretty country. So yeah, horses were something that we were used to.
What part of Brazil are you from?
I'm from south, a state called Paraná, where we drink mate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You brought your mate as well, so it's very authentic right now. You're just sipping on your mate. That's pretty cool.
But anyways, my first year and a half here in New Zealand wasn't with civil engineering stuff. But one day I just said, like, well, I think that's the best way to get my residency path. And then that's what I've done. Start to looking for jobs that I could do with the 3D modeling at first. Mm-hmm. I found a survey company, which they loved my curriculum, my CV. And then they say, wow, you can start. Was my first interview. I say, like, wow, that was fast.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I guess also New Zealand is looking for specialists in that field, right? Civil engineering. Is it on the green list? Or
yeah.
Was it at the
moment? It was in the shortage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wow. Okay.
So that's how I got like the talent visa.
Hmm.
Back in the days, you used to have like a category, it's called talent, yeah. Work visa, work to residency. So that I got this one. And so this survey company, they didn't have like the BIM stuff implemented, not even the laser scanning. And actually I start to do laser scanning because of like a surveyor that he wasn't very good with the code. So what the surveyor goes on site, he does, like he grabs like points of whatever he's capturing with the GPS.
Let's say a building.
Let's say like this street here. So he got he get the GPS and he goes to the top of the curb, and every, I don't know, like 5 meters or so, he put a point, measured that point with X, Y, and Z in a coordinate system.
It's those people
saying like, this is the top of curb. So
it's the people we sometimes see on the street, right? Yeah. In the high-vis. And some people think they're just taking your speed. Take speed camera, but it's actually those people measuring the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how it works. They take points, and these points has codes. So mm-hmm. I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm blind, totally blind in terms of like what I'm drawing.
Mm.
You know, surveyors goes, capture the data. And the drafter draws.
So you're the drafter
drafting.
Who draws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this civil 3D engineering software, which is like, it's 3D environment, but it's not very like, I don't know, very 3D rich in data. So the surveyor goes on site and grab those points with codes. And I know those codes are the top of curb, back of curb, or edge of seal or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And then we create what we create like a 3D topographical survey. With 3D laser scanning, it's different. You just press a button and it's going to generate 1 million points per second.
Wow.
In 60 seconds. So you get like a huge amount of data, which is kind of like the same visualization as like this Google Street View. The surveyor was pretty bad with codes, and I got pissed off one day and said, like, I cannot deal with it. I'm going to quit.
Oh, you could. Okay.
And there's another way to do it.
Yeah.
There might be. And then I start to do like a little bit of research, and I found out 3D laser scanning. And I said, like, wow, this is pretty cool with drones and UAV stuff. And then I bought my first drone by myself, and I started to do like some photogrammetry surveys of my own place.
Yeah.
Learn how to do with software, and I've got the 3D modeling background, which is half of the process, what I do. So I knew how to do the 3D model, but I didn't know how to do the capture of how to do with the data.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my own research on laser scanning forums, or because there was not much material.
It was quite a new innovation.
Yeah, like 7-8 years ago, the technology is there for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. But there's not much material to learn. It's very specific people who does that, and they're still figuring out things.
Yeah.
And so I started to do like some research, YouTube tutorials, and learning how to do with it. This first company that I've worked for, I made them buy a scanner. So I've done my first project, which was the Mercy Hospital in Auckland. And it was a big challenge. We've learned a lot with it. And then I've got the opportunity to work with a company called Woods, which is one of the most well-established laser scanner company that are in New Zealand. And I've learned everything with them. And now work with another company in Taranaki, which I've done heaps of UAV flights there. Like develop more the UAV drone stuff. With Woods, I took my license, flight license, so I can operate.
So what's UAV again?
UAV is drone surveyed, aerial survey.
So you're taking the footage with a drone.
Yeah. We do LiDAR, which is like the 3D laser scanning unit. And we do the photogrammetry as well. So depending on what the purpose of the survey, we do a little bit of both, or we do both. Depends what the client.
So you've been around a lot. What brought you to Raglan?
Raglan, the surf and the lifestyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So not the work. So now you work for a company that has, I don't know where it's based, but they have offices in Hamilton and I think all over.
Yeah, all over New Zealand.
It's actually a leading company in the surveying industry.
Yeah.
Called SurveyWorks Ltd.
Yeah.
You work remotely. How does a everyday look like?
Well, it's the same routine, I would say, like of the office, but at home, having a little bit of more flexibility. So we've got like a schedule that I follow. We've got a spreadsheet with like 2 weeks of work in demand, what's going to be. So I have like this 2 weeks in advance that it's pretty much like the job that I do, the work that I get, is big projects most of time.
Mm-hmm.
So those projects are like budget-wise, sometimes a month, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 3 months. It can be anything. And I get like small jobs as well, like of 2-3 days each, a day each. So it's kind of like spread what I do. It's not all times only with 3D modeling. Sometimes they send me the raw data of the scanning, asking for analysis, all sorts of analysis, or deliverables as topographical plans or heat map plans or 3D full 3D models.
And you said, you just told me before, you're only going into the office like every 3 weeks. And sometimes you go on field trips, but most of the time it's from home. I think that's something that a lot of people wish for.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that, you know, have to go to Hamilton every day. So
yes,
it's pretty cool.
It was a process to get there.
Yeah.
To this point, I guess. Because I started with a company that I use to go every day and then becomes 3 times a week. And I couldn't handle it for a year. They say like, well, I don't really need to do that, you know? because what I do, I 100% sustainable. I don't need micromanagement. I don't need no one to execute my job. And that was my dream, actually, to get to a point that I could be able to handle the full spectrum of the survey side to the deliverable by myself.
And you've been working in that career for a while. For how many years have you been working?
With the 3D laser scanning itself for the last 7 years.
And for how long have you been in New Zealand?
In New Zealand for the last 9 years.
Yeah, wow.
So, and with 3D modeling, first when I started with CAD, with 2D drafting was when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 37 now, so yeah, 22 years.
And you mentioned earlier that you took a couple of courses in Brazil. How does it look like? Is it a university program, or what did you study in Brazil?
So I study like in a federal university of technological university of Paraná. It was like a high school level, but they were just like very high level school. Mm-hmm. That you would get like a technical degree. So
oh, yeah.
I got a civil engineering technical degree there. And then I start to do architecture.
Oh, wow.
Uni.
Yeah.
I've done that for 4 years. Was 6 years total because it was night term. So it would take me 6 years. And I just decided like, well, I don't really need like a diploma to do what I do.
Yeah.
Because since I was 16, I started to work in small companies with as a drafter. So I passed like from architectural companies to electrical, mechanical, you know, like civil engineering. I know a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And you took a lot of specializing courses as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of self-taught here in Finland.
Yeah. Always, so cool. Always like upskilling myself from 2D, and then I said like, well, I really want to get into the 3D world, because that was the thing back in the days, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, like from CAD 2D to 3D, no beam so far, was like, oh, that's cool, because 3D visualization is way more like appeal to the eyes, you can understand more. It was a journey.
Yeah. And I mean, building a career by itself is very challenging. But then moving countries and trying to build a career in a country that's not your home country must be even more challenging.
Yeah.
What are the challenges that you faced coming to New Zealand and trying to build your technical career?
I think there was my self belief.
Oh,
sense of belief. Because I was totally wrong. Because like we come like from a third world country that your English was not my mother language.
Yeah.
You like, you kind of like think that, oh, people here are way further, mm-hmm. you know, but because like, yeah, in terms of like in technical terms and access of technology, 100%. But in terms of like, Brazil is a very competitive country. So you need to be like top of your game to have like a little chance, and you're going to compete with 50 people that are the same level as you.
Mm.
And they already passed a try of 500.
Wow.
So it's and if you like don't do like 200% of your capacity, there's someone who's going to take you, your spot. When you get to New Zealand with like this kind of background, and you say like, I was like kind of like under judgment of my self skill.
Yeah.
And I said like, when I put my first week of sending CVs, I got my interview in the first week and I got the job straight away. So it changed my mind. I said,
yeah,
wow, actually, I was wrong about that. So I think that sometimes we are our worst enemy.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. Yeah.
And of course, it is something that you you need to build a career coming from overseas. You need to be humble and be patient and believe in the process and do your best. Because, yeah, work visa is a journey. Get residency is a journey. So,
yeah, it's a journey by itself.
Yeah.
We talked about this one case with the street and the people taking the shots.
Yeah.
Maybe you can think about one project where the laser scanning really changed the outcome or avoided like a big problem. Can you remember anything?
Yes, I think like the most challenging job and one of most iconic ones that I've done was when I was working at Woods. Then we've done the Harbor Bridge in Auckland.
Yeah.
For the SkyPath project that they were about to design SkyPath project was a project that consists in building a cycleway on the east side of the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Face on the east side of the bridge, plus train lanes and 6 lanes of bus.
Wow, that's a huge project.
It was huge. And we got the job to capture both shores, South and North Shore, and the whole bridge. Bottom channel of the channel, so underwater surface. The bottom of the bridge itself, the lanes, and the top of the bridge. So it was like a hybrid survey. We used underwater laser scanners, LiDARs. We didn't have this one. We had to hire a company that they do that from Auckland. So we've done the lanes with terrestrial laser scanning. We've done the bottom of the bridge on a boat with a terrestrial laser scanner. And we've done the top of the bridge with a UAV, if it's a drone.
And what was the outcome?
The outcome was beautiful. The data was like all the bottom of the bridge that you could see, like all the channel underwater, both sides of the shore, and also like the whole 3D point cloud. Point cloud is only the 3D scanning data of the bridge. And they asked only both shores DTM surface, which is like DTM is not like a 3D, full 3D model, but it's like the surface model of the roads and the banks and everything in a certain level of detail. A full 3D model is something way more complex. So they ask only the east side of the bridge, the full 3D model, and both shores because of budget-wise.
And then
because it's expensive, 3D modeling.
They didn't decide to go ahead with that project, did they? What happened?
So based on this data, I end up being on Eastern holidays. Everyone was out of the office, and it was like my very 6 months of of this job. And it's like they only asked for both shores, and I've got nothing to do, so I've 3D modeled the whole bridge.
Yeah.
And when they came back from holidays, the bridge was done, the full 3D model.
What?
Yeah. And I said, like, my office was happy with it. And we ended up sending the whole model. So they end up realizing that the project wasn't viable.
Okay. Was it like too expensive for them?
It would be too expensive. To attach, because their concern was, can we attach a secondary structure on the existing one? And they found out that no, they couldn't. They couldn't put that much load of weight and attach a secondary structure to the existing one. They need to build another bridge. So that wasn't viable. So it was way better to know that with this data, then spending heaps of money on even starting the project and being not viable, you know.
And how many days did you spend on that project?
This project was big, was a big budget. I would say like was I'm not sure, but I think that was like 45 days, like around six, 7 weeks.
Yeah, well,
to get all the, this model done. The
but
whole
yeah,
thing.
Like you're saying, still better than just doing this work in advance and not starting a project that's not viable.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it was like an opportunity as well, like once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Like you have the opportunity to build one of the first beam models of the most iconic bridge in New Zealand. So like, wow.
Really good for your CV as well.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
You already talked a bit about the difference, the technology advances in Brazil versus New Zealand, which I think is really interesting. And you've worked in the field for 7 to 9 years. Have you experienced a change in the way surveying is done compared to when you started? Is there any innovations that you're really excited about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been like what when I started with, for example, laser scanning. And until now, I still need to learn new softwares because it's changing very, very fast. You know, the first laser scanners, they used to weigh like 15 to 20 kgs. Now, and they used to take like 3 minutes to 6 minutes to do one station. Now they weigh like a quarter of it,
yep.
Not even that. And they do the job in 30, 60 seconds. So it's the technology is always changing. And with LiDAR technology and AI, the thing is, and people is getting to know, technology is getting more accessible, cheaper.
Mm.
So it make people, and people are getting to know, for example, the professionals, our clients, which are architects and civil engineers, most of time, or surveyors or whatever, they're getting to know what they can do with this,
mm-hmm.
You know, what sort of deliverables they can, what sort of data they can get from this. And this totally changed what they do, the way that they do, and the amount of time that they spend, the amount of budget, money that they spend on site, on building, on designing, on avoiding mistakes. Because that's the greatest challenge of our industry is communication. And that's what I do. That's mm-hmm. what we do as 3D, let's put it like 3D laser scanning specialists, is communicating to the client what is there and as accurate as possible, because accuracy is something that is very, very important as well in what we do. So that's why they pay us, you know, so they can blame us if something goes wrong.
And I guess you already mentioned AI. I guess it's taking over a lot of processes that makes work much easier. How do you feel about AI in the future? Is it taking over your job, or do you think it's just to help?
I think that's going to be like, it's been a good tool. Every laser scanning software or even hardware that we use now, they got some sort of AI built in already. So, for example, one of the scanners that we use, it looks like a RoboCop armory, you know, like you wear that. And instead of myself compiling this multiple scan together, this one, he's got like a black box registration process that you just upload the file, the mm-hmm. path that you've done, the raw data, and it already gives you the output.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the scans, but this got like some lower accuracy.
Okay.
You know, when we are talking about like surveying grade scanners, then this process, it has to be more manual, has to have more control of like a human being, because we are always like checking constraints and we need to be really careful with what sort of terms are we using. And there's many, many factories that applies to get the job done at the end, because there's a discrepancy in accuracy in the scanner and the coordinate system that you're using, you know, of the nature of the job. So there's many, many things that you need to be aware. So, but I think that I'm totally pro AI, to be honest, because there's many, many manual 3D modeling tasks that I need to know, for example, that I need to do today that are very time consuming.
Mm.
And it would be very, very cheaper for the clients and even easier for us if we got like an AI solution for that.
Mm, yeah, it's super interesting to hear because you often hear a lot of opinions that are more critical towards it. I guess it's something, you know, you just don't know. We have to see how it turns out in the future. So you do a very technical, screen-heavy job, which you do from home, like we said. How does living in a place like Raglan influence the way you work?
I think positively, as I've got flexibility, which is, I never felt like it's a Monday feeling, Monday morning feeling again, you know, on a Sunday night, you know, like that Monday.
Amazing.
You know, like, because, well, I've got the budget, I've got the hours, I've got the autonomy to do what I do. And I think when you get to get ownership to a employee and you really trust on it, because the relationship that I've got with my company is trust-based, you know, like, and it doesn't matter if what time I'm doing, as long as I get the job done, you're cool with that. And I think that's a cool culture.
Yeah, you know? I think so. That's pretty cool. So you don't have to work 9 to 5. You can, as long as you get the job done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty methodic kind of guy, you know, like I need to have like a routine established so I can, I work with productivity. And to be productive, I have to have a routine established. So I do like my 9 to 5 kind of way, you know, but it's flexible. When there's waves, good waves, I go surfing prior to work, or there's only a window that I can surf, the wave's going to be good. I work those hours at night. So it's pretty flexible and it feels great. But most of the time, I like to be on working hours available to my crew because I work for, my team is from Auckland.
Oh, yeah.
So our communication, and they do most days, most of the days they do from office.
Mm.
They do work from home as well, but they do many days in the office. I think that is all about balance, right?
Yeah.
You need to be able to be like, all right, I cannot abuse of being out all times and every day, but I have this flexibility. When it's good, I can go and it's all good. I go for my morning runs every day, so
nice.
I'm stoked with it.
And one of your creative outlets is music.
Yep.
You make music. How does that go alongside your career?
Well, it always been alongside with my career since when I was 15, since my first bands as amateur musician. Always, there was a time when I was 20. I turned 20 and then I just like gave up about my uni, my work, and I've been with a band for 7 years, a rock and roll band, when I was full-time musician, living the dream.
Wow, nice.
When I got professionalized, but I've learned everything that I know about music, doing the thing on the road was during this day.
That was back in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took this time to live this dream, but I feel like, wow, this has been like a little hustle. So I came back to the civil engineering industry on my last 3 years back in Brazil to save some money and to go overseas. That was the plan. So it's always been like alongside with my work. But yeah, I think it's something that complements what I do.
Yeah. Do you have a band here in Raglan or is it more like singer-songwriter stuff?
I do have my own band. But yeah, two of the band members are from Raglan, which is Nikki, and the bassist. But the rest of the band is from Auckland. One of the bands, which is Brucey Jordan, solo career.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still have like a AC/DC tribute band that I travel a lot around New Zealand. We do have a couple of shows booked for this year already. And yeah, it's been cool. I've been recording heaps lately, this nice. last three months.
So
I've been away.
Are you dropping some new albums soon?
I'm starting to get the pre-production of a new one now that I'm probably going to start to record the proper thing on winter. That's how I do. That's my creative process.
Do you have any gigs lined up? Any concerts where we can see you live?
I haven't got like gigs for the next 2 months planned, but I do along the year.
Yeah.
I do.
Keep us updated about that.
Yeah.
We would love to know. And I also want to talk about your song called Raglan.
Yeah.
That's actually a funny story because I had that song on my Spotify list. Because obviously because of the name Raglan and the lyrics are about it. I think it really captures the vibe of Raglan.
That's cool.
So I knew the song. And the other day we had a party at my place. And we had a jam going on and people were playing instruments. And then suddenly the song came on, Raglan. And I was like, oh, I know this song. Turns out you were there singing your own song. And I didn't know it was you that was your song. That was pretty funny.
It's true. That was a cool moment.
Yeah. So what's the story behind the song for you personally?
Well, I used to come to Raglan pretty much every weekend. Since my very first year, I got to meet Raglan for the first time and just fell in love. So like, wow, this is a place that I really feel that I could live forever, you know, like. So that was my plan. So like, once I get my residency, I'm going to move to Raglan. But Raglan was written in a kitchen in a place in Auckland. And it was kind of like a collective place where people used to do woofing and live in Grafton. It was like a big house that heaps of people used to live there. And then I used to have jams there with different people. And I started to write this kind of reggae song.
Yeah.
Trip to Raglan, surfy vibes.
For surf, yeah. No matter how the waves look like, big or small.
I used to have my van back in the days, so used to do like this kind of weekend trip and come to Raglan very, very often that was the second single of my career when I moved to New Zealand. As an artist working with this band, alternative rock and roll band back in Brazil, was cool. And then I said like, well, I just want to do something different, but I don't really know what I want to do as an artist. So I gave myself some time to figure out things. So I, along these last 6 years, I've been releasing single by single. Raglan was the second one. And we've got an album that I released on February. Raglan is one of the main songs of this album.
Mm.
It's a 13 tracks album. Recorded and produced in New Zealand, in Auckland, with Scott Seabright, who was the producer of this record and all the singles. Mm. It's been a really nice journey.
Nice. So if you want to check out Brucey's music, probably on Spotify is the best way.
Everywhere. If you Google Brucey, B-R-U-C-I, Jordan is my artistic name. Had to change a little bit because Jordan doesn't sound that good. So I just put an N at the end just to round it up.
Yeah.
And then you can find it. Yeah, there's a beautiful music video. About this Raglan song which is available on YouTube, any sort of streaming platforms, anywhere, pretty much.
And I will play the song Raglan for you now. Thank you so much for coming to my show, Brucey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to How to Make It Work with me, Annika. Catch us live on Raglan Community Radio every Monday at 12:30 or listen anytime on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, keep finding your way and keep making it work.
This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.